Galatians 5:16. Would somebody read that for me? Just read that out. Raise your hand if you'd read that for me. Galatians 5:16. Okay, over here. So what in the world does that mean? Maybe something you struggle with is anger. I don't know. I stopped and got a McDonald's coffee on my way here. I actually like McDonald's coffee. I think it's pretty good. All right. But I got through the drive-thru, and there are two lanes. And the one lane on the right had a vehicle behind it. I chose a lane where I ended up needing to wait. All right. But the other lane had two or three cars go through. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. So what immediately happened? I became impatient. And I got convicted. I'm like, come on, Dave, just relax. It's just a cup of coffee. It's not that big of a deal, right? Whatever it is that you struggle with in your flesh and your own desires when you want to go your own way, whatever that is, the temptation is to say, you know what? I'm going to just do what? Better, right? I've said that. You can't. You can't do better on your own. That can't happen. Romans 12:1-2, Paul is challenging the Romans that daily we need to submit ourselves to God and by faith trusting Him to work and allowing who indwells us as Christians? Holy Spirit, right? So if we're going to walk by the Spirit, He needs to be leading us and guiding us. Pastor Kim was talking about that God's Word needs to be guiding us and showing us where we need to go and what that needs to look like. And I guess as we begin to say, I'd say learning to walk is that it is a day-by-day step and walk with God. And when Scripture talks about that God will be faithful to complete His work in our lives until when? Until we're with Him. And guess what? It doesn't end until we are in heaven with God. And I don't know if any of you enjoy listening to Mercy Me. They've got their current CD out, and I love, there's one song in there that talks about, I can't believe, God, this is where I'm at in my Christian life and walk with You after I've known You for so long. You ever feel like that? I do. There are things in my life that I struggle with, and I know that it's just me wanting to walk and go my way, and then as I go through my day-by-day living, I'm like, really? I'm still struggling with that? I raised my hand and I said that I was able to be a part of a good youth group and God worked in the heart and lives with that. I grew up in a home where mom and dad loved Jesus. And we were at church any time the doors were open. And that was good. And I heard about Jesus pretty much my whole life, I guess I would say. And I accepted Jesus as my Savior at the age of 5. I remember coming home on a Sunday night after church, talking with my mom before I went to bed, and that night I made a decision for Christ. And in my life growing up, it would be easy for me to give you the right spiritual answer. Are any of you there where you know the right answer, but it's just you giving the what? Just the right answer. It's not the Holy Spirit really working in your heart and life. And the challenge here that Paul's presenting in Galatians chapter 5 is he's given a warning. And I think that the thing that I want us to see is that he's talking about circumcision as his illustration of a warning of what you need to be careful of. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want us to see that he's going to describe circumcision as the issue that the Judaizers were presenting as a way of adding to the gospel message. Are you with me? Because that's what was happening. There were false teachers around there, but specifically, Paul's talking about the Judaizers that were adding circumcision to the gospel. In other words, in order for you to truly be saved, you had to be circumcised. Alright? Is that true? No, not at all. And what I want us to see is that any time we add anything, did you hear me? Anything to the gospel, then we've taken away the work of what Jesus Christ has done. That's it. It's strictly what? Faith alone and what Jesus has done. So the same thing is true as we walk with the Spirit. So in other words, sometimes I can go, all right, God, I know that you need me to be patient, all right, at McDonald's. All right, we'll go back to that one. But, if you use the word but, I've used the word but, whatever happens. I am not a victim of my circumstances, okay? You're not. I understand that your circumstances will affect you. I understand it makes it more challenging, but we're not a victim of our circumstances. The Holy Spirit is there and wants to work in our life, but I need to ask Him for that help. And what Paul here in the first few verses of Galatians 5 is saying, warning, look out. Don't add anything to the gospel. Look at Galatians chapter 5. I want to read verses 1 and 2 as we get started. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be no advantage to you. What's the second word I just read? For what? Freedom. I don't know about you, but that is exciting. Because what happens is in the Christian life, in some arenas, there's a lot of lists of do's and don'ts in the Christian life, isn't there? Some arenas can present the Christian life that way. So in other words, as long as I don't do these things and do these things, then I'm going to be okay in my Christian life. I don't know what your background is, but I've seen that. My background, one of the things that I, as someone taking it in and hearing what was going on, one of the things I distinctly remember is hearing about the Holy Spirit being taught. And the Holy Spirit, there was a big caution to be careful that we did not follow the charismatic movement. Okay? And in that, the concern was is that, you know what? You want to be careful that you don't follow a wrong teaching. But in that communication, what I heard is that I didn't truly understand the role that the Holy Spirit has in our life. Does that make sense? Because without the Holy Spirit's work in my life, I can't live the Christian life. Can you? You can't. You just can't do it on your own. He's got to be working in my life and through my life. So that power is there. And He is saying there's freedom in Christ. The people were in danger of becoming enslaved to the Mosaic law. It's a yoke of slavery for them. And again, that circumcision was the thing that Paul was addressing. I found something interesting, though, in my study, that Paul wasn't against circumcision, because if you study, Timothy was one of Paul's disciples, all right? We won't read it, but Acts 16, 1-3, Paul had Timothy get what? Circumcised. Do you know why? So that he could minister to the people of the Jewish faith, because he had a Greek background. So in other words, I want to be aware of what's going on, but the circumcision was not for what? Salvation. No. It was for him to be able to connect to the people that he's a part of. Some of us, there are things that we're going to have to be willing to change and to do in order to be able to minister to people that we see and that we meet. That may be at work. In other words, what I'm saying is that we've got freedom, right, in the Christian life. There's a lot of freedom. In the freedom, I always want to remember that God is holy. We're going to see here in just a little bit what that freedom is supposed to help us with and showing that love to others. But the idea is that they were becoming enslaved to the yoke of bondage of the Mosaic Law. And it's interesting, if you study the Mosaic Law and study through Scriptures, that if you've got the Mosaic Law and if you keep all of it but you don't keep one part, then what? You missed it. Totally. There's no way we can keep the Mosaic Law. That's not going to work. And the other thing I found interesting is that what happens with us as Christians is that we can become entrapped into the things of tradition of what we've held to for so long. Let me give you an example. And I'm not saying that you need to have a Sunday night or Saturday night service, okay? Did you hear me say that? I'm not saying that, all right? But, you know, Anita and I have talked, we've watched over the years, and typically a church service schedule is what? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's pretty typical, right? Sure it is. But we've got life and schedules that are changing. Facilities allow different things. You're growing. Is it unbiblical? Did you hear my question? Is it unbiblical to have a Saturday night church service meeting? No, it isn't. But I'll tell you this. For me, I'm 48. there are things in my background that if you were to change some things in the church service or how you do things, I have to stop and go, whoa, that's not right. Well, why do I say that's not right? Because I'm caught up in the tradition of it, schedule of whatever. And it's easy for that to happen. And you got to understand that the people in Galatia were struggling because their spiritual leaders were what? Were teaching that for you to get saved, you had to be circumcised. Look at verse 3. Paul says, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. And that's what I was talking about, that if you don't keep all of it, then it doesn't count. Verse 4. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. Verse 5 says, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. And again, if we keep the law, rather than turning to God's grace, I'm missing the mark of that salvation. And Paul, again, is reminding them that they're eagerly looking forward to Christ's return. And then in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. That's just a great reminder. Right now we're getting a lot of different messages about what the Christian life means and how to come to Jesus Christ or come to God. One of the things that I've seen change in the past 27 years of ministry is that when we started in ministry, there was, I don't know if I'd call it a moral compass or an acceptance to the truth of God's Word, but more of the fact that, you know what, there is a right and there is a wrong. Today what we're seeing is that whatever you believe to be right is right, and whatever I believe to be right is right. And it's more of an ecumenical, inclusive, it's just nonsense if you think about it, right? It just is. But that's the foolishness of man apart from the truth of God's Word. That doesn't mean, and you're going to see over and over and over in Galatians chapter 5, the word love. Over and over and over. And so I think it's important as we think of that we need to express God's truth with love. Verse 7 to 10. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. There he's again saying that, you know what, as Galatians, you were on target. But you've gotten caught up in this whole idea that you've got to be circumcised to be saved. And Paul is cautioning them that a little leaven does what? Leaven affects everything. One of the things for me is I don't like people. I want people to like me, okay? That's sinful, all right? Does that make sense? Okay, because that makes that about me, right? Not about God? All right. So with that mindset, if something comes up that needs to be dealt with, maybe Pastor Ken does something that I need to talk to him about. He hasn't, okay? You with me? But if he did, all right? I haven't yet, right? All right. I may not want to deal with that. Whatever that is. If we let sin go, if we let false teaching go, it will affect our worldview. It will affect how we see salvation. That's why it is so important that we spend time in God's Word on a daily basis. Because I don't know about you, but everything around me, billboards, TV, radio is just screaming for my attention. And I've been finding more and more lately that I just turn everything off when I'm in the vehicle and I just ride. Because life is just coming at us so fast and I don't get a chance to really think and listen and hear what God wants me to hear. And then Paul again is challenging them that if we will turn to law, it will hurt their progress as believers, and that they need to be true to the Scriptures. Verse 11 and 12. Here we see that, but if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. Paul was being persecuted. And what he's saying here is that if he was teaching that you need to be circumcised to be saved, then the Judaizers and the others would be what? They would not be persecuting him. But he was teaching that truth. Verse 12, I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. And what he's saying here is that he hopes and prays that those who are teaching this false teaching would not have others that would join them and see that growing as well. And then verse 13 to 15. For you were called to freedom, brothers. You hear that word again, freedom? That's a great word, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve who? One another, right? For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. What we should be enslaved to and bondage to is that we need to love one another. Does love ever get messy? The answer is yes. Absolutely. I mean, think about it. God's love for us when he sent his son, Jesus did what? He died on the cross for our sins. We had a guy coming to our children's ministry 5 years ago is when he started. First name's Dylan. And Dylan comes from a home of four children. He's the youngest. Mom is single. Three different dads involved. Just a bad home situation. Dylan came for a couple years. I remember when he first started coming. He was one of these kids that we kind of had to chase around the building sometimes. But he eventually got saved. It was exciting. Over the years, we worked with him. Dylan actually went to camp with us a couple of summers. But I can remember talking with a couple different people in our church. And they were talking about, you guys just do so much for Dylan. Yeah? So what? Right? I mean, really, did it take effort? It took effort. Dylan's home, if he's going to have any spiritual encouragement, it's not going to come from home. Okay? If you're going to invest and love one another, as Paul's talking about, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you money. I understand that. But I think even bigger than that, than even money, is it's going to cost you your time. One of the things that I find over and over is that we are just so busy. We just need to stop and look at what we're doing, ask God to direct us to what we need to be doing and not be doing, and asking him to help us. If we're going to really seek to love one another, then look at verse 16 again. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Walk by the Spirit. If I'm going to walk by the Spirit, then I cannot walk by the flesh, right? So in other words, if I am entertaining anything in my life that's of the flesh, you know, have you ever played this game where you go, okay, wait a minute, you know, I've done X, Y, Z for Jesus, and I'm going to do A, B, C for Dave. Does that work? It does not work. Because if I do that, then I'm what? I'm walking by the flesh, right? It is amazing what our minds will do and play games of saying, you know what, I'm going to give Jesus everything, but I'm going to hang on to this one thing. I don't know what it is for you. For me, it could easily be a plate of cookies, all right? You put a fresh chocolate chip cookies, plate of cookies in front of me with a glass of milk, and I bet you I could probably eat that whole plate. Well, not the plate, but the cookies on the plate, okay? What's that called? What's the word for that? I heard it. Gluttony. Gluttony. All right? It is. That's sin. It's just amazing how sin will enter our life. So what's the flesh look like? Look at the next few verses. Verses 17 to 21. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Does that last little phrase mean that those of us that are Christians, if we do these things, lose our salvation? The answer is no, it doesn't. What Paul is saying there, though, that if you as an individual have a life that's characterized by the things of the flesh, take inventory. Maybe there's never been a time that you really did accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I've been talking about walking in the flesh, right? And walking in the Spirit. To begin to walk in the Spirit, there has to be a time where you come to God and you say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner," and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you give Him control of your life. And that is where that relationship begins. What Paul is talking about here in Galatians is that he's talking to Christians, and he's saying, on your daily walk with Jesus, living in Lebanon, Indiana, Parkersville, Indiana, where I live, tomorrow morning, Monday morning, when I wake up and begin working in my office, if I seek to walk in the Spirit, here are some things of the flesh. Now, what does the Spirit look like? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. As I was reading through that, I was reminded again that the works of the Spirit are not produced by the believer, but by the Spirit working through the life of the believer. Did you hear what I said? So in other words, it goes back to the whole idea that it is so easy for us as Christians to say, you know what? I'm just going to try harder. I need to do better. That's not right. That is unbiblical thinking. Okay? Who should get the glory for our lives? God. How do we begin to give God that glory? We surrender to Him. As individualist Americans, everything around us screams to live for yourself, make your way, do better, work hard. I need to give God my best. All right? I do. But that begins by daily surrendering to what God wants and letting Him order my steps and let the Holy Spirit work in my life. And as I look at my life, it should reflect love, joy, peace, patience. So when I was in line at McDonald's this morning, was I demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit of patience? The answer is no, I wasn't, was I? You know, and I don't know what it is for you. Then Paul ends with, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We have the opportunity for that freedom. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And then finally, I found it interesting, he ends with, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. A couple things here. Paul does a final challenge of saying, you know what? The sinful desires have been crucified with Jesus Christ, but we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit's work in our life and allow Him to work in our life. And the last verse he says, and a warning, be careful. Because if you're not careful, what happens is that we begin to become jealous or envious of others or become what? Proud, right? I mean, I told you I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior at the age of 5. I'm 48. So how many years is that? Good, good. You're still with me. That's good. 43 years. I'm a sinner that was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. one of the devotional tool that we use with Word of Life is the Daily Quiet Time Diary. Today's passage was about Daniel. Would you consider Daniel to be a godly man? Absolutely. In the visions at the end of the book that God had been given to Daniel, the section that we read today had Daniel coming before God our Father broken. About what? About his sinfulness and his daily struggles. I want us to see that we can't live the Christian life on our own. Could I have the next slide? I guess the only other slide I had. As I pull that up, I titled today's message about learning to walk. And maybe you're at a spot in your Christian life that you go, I can't believe that I'm still struggling with X, whatever that is in your life. All right? I don't know what that is. You do. I'm sure you can name it right away. Yeah, they're getting there. Okay. That's pretty. I like that one too. Been there. It's a nice little spot. What they've got is they're going to pull up a picture of my granddaughter, Sophia. And in that, she'll be 1 and 3 weeks. You know what she's learning to do? Walk. Right? Yep. There she is. We got her a little walk behind right on toy. And so she's inspecting it. But we've been watching. They live about 6 hours away. And we get videos and pictures and get to hear her and see her. And we watch her. She pulled herself up a couple months ago. And now she's starting to get behind the walker. And she's beginning to walk. It's a process, isn't it? It's a step-by-step, day-by-day process. And in that, what I'm reminded of is that in our Christian lives, it's a process. It's a day-by-day, step-by-step surrender. And my desire is that every one of us would identify, dear God, what's the next step for us? What do I need to do? Maybe you hear this morning and you go, Dave, I have just been struggling with spending time in God's Word on a daily basis. I remember the old computer phrase, GIGO, garbage in, garbage out, right? I've got to be renewing my mind day by day by God's Word. This is the only book, what, that God ever wrote. God wrote this book. What I read to us in Galatians 5, Paul wrote that, okay, but he was moved by who? God. There are 40 different authors over thousands of years that this book was put together. It is the truth. It's not just another book. And we need to know what it says, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and lives. Psalm 1 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Just a clear reminder what life is all about. That doesn't mean that you're going to have wealth, fame, and happiness, okay? It doesn't. But it does mean that you can have love, joy, and peace, and that's found here. Maybe what you need to be able to do is connect with another believer that's going to help you in your walk with Christ. We need one another. We can't be individuals that are just going through life day in and day out. At church, when we come together, it's easy to talk about all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, I did it this morning. You know what? What do you think one of the things is I talked about to the guys when they came in? What's that? You know what? I didn't even talk about the race. That's a good one, but I didn't talk about it. Talked about the weather. Why are we so obsessed with the weather? I don't know, okay? It makes no sense. But what we do want to do is we do want to get to where we have a point where we've got a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ that maybe not Sunday morning, but somewhere we're connecting together and we're praying for one another, encouraging one another to be the men of God God's called us to be, the ladies of God God's called us to be, and the children of God that God's called us to be. And that is a challenge. And so as we think of this here, Paul was clearly warning them, don't let circumcision be added to the gospel. I don't think here in the United States that is an issue as we present the gospel. But I do think one of the issues that we face is that there are a multitude of religious information that's being shared, that's being proclaimed as the truth of how to get to God. And what we want to do is stay true to the Scriptures. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh the Father but by me. But if I'm going to be daily walking with God and the Holy Spirit working in my heart and life, I'm going to have to make a decision about what my next step needs to be. And guess what? My life isn't over until I'm what? Dead. Right? It isn't. And every one of us have different spots and opportunities for God to use us, and He wants to use us. Let's pray. God, I want to thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Paul's challenge, just there to the Galatians, that we need to guard our steps and guard the truth of Your Word. And Lord, our desire is just to be men and women and children that love You, know You, and want to follow You. And God, we know that it is a daily battle to want to go our own way. And I pray that every one of us would just surrender to You every day, that we'd spend time in Your Word, allowing that to teach us and to change us as we apply it in our lives, and to encourage one another on the godliness. And God, I pray again that You'll just use Grace Church and this community to proclaim Your truth, and that we may see many more come to You, and that we would all be growing in our walk with You. In Jesus' name, amen.